How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to another DeGrads podcast, your Degrassi rewatch podcast with two actors from the show who have never actually seen it.
Until now. That's right. Today we're talking about broken homes. We're talking awkward family dinners, second chances, and whether people can ever escape the stories that they inherit.
I'm one of your hosts, Shane Warren Kipple, Gavin Spinner Mason.
I'm Mike Lobel, a.k.a. Jay Hogarth. And we are resident bad boys at Degrassi. Can we say that?
Yeah, I think.
Are we allowed to?
You just said it. No one stopped you. I don't hear the Fed knocking on the door. But
I'm owning it.
The funny thing, and it's always commendable to me, Mike, is that we've done about 30, 35 episodes now, and you still haven't even seen your face
on TV
yet.
And actually, I don't want to. So we'll have to figure out how to deal with those episodes, because I don't know if I can bear to watch myself on camera.
Yeah, well, this one is... I have issues with the episode that we just watched, not with the title, though. I sent an SOS to the world. Classic police song.
I know. Well, you're as a drummer. I mean, I'm sure you're on the Copeland bandwagon.
Stuart Copeland. I just love watching him and Sting in those studio videos where Sting is making fun of these, you know, botched fills that Stewart is trying to do. And he's like, I didn't realize this song was in 9/8. It's like, no, you shut the hell up, man. The people are going to talk about this. This is going to be the cover of Modern Drummer. And he was right. But their fights were the fights that I had, were the fights that I'm sure you had.
But yeah.
To my professional drummer friends about this, my not so professional drummer friends about this, it's like the sound guy in film. When the boom operator says going again for sound, everyone's like, come on, let's fix it later. And the drummer, no one cares about our plight. If you hit a splash cymbal instead of a crash and you're like, guys, I gotta go again. That was supposed to be a crash. They're like, what's the difference? There's a difference. I'm telling you. No,
splash cymbals. Can you tell that we grew up listening to Incubus, Korn, and Deftones?
Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, just to keep it interesting.
You and I saw Dave Matthews show many, many moons ago.
I must have been totally high.
Well, we were.
Send an SOS out to us. Yeah. Speaking of that song, obviously, it's the 1979 hit by the Police. And yes, Sting is famously salty. The song is like more of a cryptic kind of song title, I think, for Degrassi, you know, in terms of being tied to the plot. But like, you've got this person in the song who's, you know, they're trying to reach out. They're basically a castaway sending out messages in bottles. And I took that to mean this is like Sean. He's on a desert island. Nobody understands him. He feels alienated. He feels misunderstood. And the episode has a lot to say about class.
It is a classic Capulet and Montague story, but...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I believe that was.
But there is also the literal bottle that Sean takes to in this episode.
Oh, man. I didn't even pick up on that.
Really?
You're a genius.
It was forced to the trees.
I missed the most obvious part of that connection.
See, that's why two cooks in this kitchen is not too many cooks. That's why. That's
because right. Each of us are really one half of a cook.
That's right. So that's right.
We make a hole.
Yeah. Together, we have a semi-operational system going on here.
That's right. What'd you think of the episode, though? You said you had some feelings about it.
There was just, I'm going to be hypercritical of the acting in this episode. Okay. Even like for everything amazing about Bruce's directing style, like there were so many campy, weird, awkward, just. Mm. Like actions in this episode, mm-hmm. I found. Mm-hmm. And I know there's only so much he can do with the script. There are certain beats that have to happen. But you
and
know
who wrote the script? Who are you throwing under the bus today?
Oh no! I'm not, like it wasn't a dialogue thing, but yeah. Let's go with the proper intro. So this is Message in a Bottle by The Police, and Degrassi now. Season 2, Episode 16, Canadian air date, January 17th, 2003, U.S. air date, August 1st, 2003. This was written by, this is going to come back on me. This is written by Aaron Martin and Sarah Yara with the story and James Hurst with the teleplay, Bruce McDonald as director. Yeah, I just went after our heaviest hitters.
You're going to get beaten up. You're going to get taken
beaten up.
Yeah. In an alley. Yeah.
No, it's just like, you know, you gotta love TV for the moments of like a loud party where everyone is yelling back and forth to each mm-hmm. other. And then suddenly like the proverbial record player, scratches off as soon as someone breaks a bottle.
It's like, all right, you had me at the beginning of the party. I was like, this checks out. I feel like I'm in a high school party situation.
Yeah, yeah. And then
a bottle breaks and nobody yells Opa and just turns the music up.
And are we the most straight edge for everything that goes on at Degrassi? We are the most straight edge party goers because everyone is freaking out. Like Sean just pulled out a meth pipe and was smoking it openly in the party.
I think the show can't decide what side of the line they want to be on, because we've had some pretty intense behavior in past episodes. And then this is like, you know, he eyes a bottle of alcohol and no one else apparently is drinking at this party. And we're supposed to feel like this is a wildly dangerous situation. So I think we're trying to figure out, like, I don't know, are we like Seventh Heaven or are we Euphoria? I don't really know what it is. Somewhere in between.
When you set the bar with your series premiere as a like an almost tragic ending catfish in a hotel room, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And pedophilia for the season one finale, you have, you know, drugs at a party. Now we're freaking out over a little
bit
of alcohol.
Ecstasy.
A year later.
They've all been on ecstasy.
Right.
At a party. Yeah. And now, well, maybe that's why they're cautious. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We'll figure it out. We'll unpack it.
And also, and now that I'm just saying this out loud, in that party, Spinner's, you know, famous watermelon that he came carrying in, we already established that was supposed to be a vodka-soaked. Yeah. So now Sean is drinking openly. Like, no, Sean!
He's drinking Perrier.
Yeah.
Spinner's drinking Perrier and doing whippets now.
Yeah, that's right. It's all the liquids are what Degrassi has a problem with. The labeled liquids.
It's everything the labeled else liquids. Is a, yeah, for
everything
sure.
Everything else is a free for all. All right.
Let's get into it. Let's head. Yeah. Emma is at Sean's place, the palace, he says, to study chemistry. We know what that means. She almost crashes through his broken chair. Sean's brother Tracker bursts in at that moment, arguing with his boss on the phone. And after hanging up, he quietly communicates to Sean that he and Emma have to leave. They're being kicked out. Why? Who knows? Roll credits.
Yeah.
He's just like, I got fired. I need to be alone now.
There was a part of me that thought he signaled like mom is outside or something. And Sean, like he mouthed something. And I thought he was warning Sean, hey, mom's here. And Sean's like, okay, we got to go. That was the only thing that made sense to me. I know.
And then she never appears. It was very strange.
It was very strange. Yeah.
Yeah. There might have been something cut for time from that.
There might have been. It tends to be something that happens and leave the audience in, you know, none the wiser and the actors frustrated. That's what happens when they cut things. Yeah,
totally. All right. In gym class at school, Sean and Jimmy are impressing Coach Armstrong with their basketball skills when Spinner walks up to ruin the vibe. He wants to know why they had beef in the first place. Jimmy extends an olive branch, inviting him to his party to celebrate the regionals. Spinner still has BO.
Yeah. Yeah. This is also something like I'll just go after my own acting here. It was I don't know. There I find certain scenes for my own self-worth. I'll go like, that was decent. That was good. So the last episode, I'm like, yeah, passable. I can sleep all right having watched that. That first scene today, I'm like, what am I doing? It just seemed like I was trying on certain days and I wasn't trying on other days.
It didn't bum for me. I thought it was good.
Nah.
I always enjoy watching you on camera.
Well, thanks, buddy.
And in real life, while you sleep.
Huh. Nice, nice, nice. No, not creepy at all, but you know what? It's nice.
Moving on.
It's like an extra blanket that I'm wearing.
Yeah. I could be. In the hallway, Manny wonders why Emma still hasn't told Sean about dinner with her parents. It's tonight. Emma obviously has failed to invite Sean to a dinner that she's like told her parents he's coming over, and he's not heard anything about it. So Sean is surprised, obviously, to get such a last minute invite. Mm-hmm. Just then, well, Sean actually like doesn't think it's a good idea. But just then, Mr. Simpson walks by talking about a Toro sushi being on the menu. He's clearly very excited. Mm-hmm. And Emma begs Sean to skip Jimmy's party. He would be really letting her parents down if he didn't show up to this thing. Yeah. So, okay, fine.
But that's one of two times in this episode that there is a last minute invite, like, I mean, 11th hour invite mm-hmm. to an mm-hmm. event that should have, like, with Jimmy inviting Ashley and yeah. Terry. Like, hey, by the way, Terry, I'm having a party tonight. Can you come? Like, these are Jimmy's friends. Who are all the other people that he invited to the party?
He invited like 600 other people.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
Anyway, I'll keep doing this. I'll keep doing this.
Great. In class, Jimmy is longingly checking out Ashley now. Spinner thinks this is obviously predictable behavior, but Jimmy says she's way more down to earth this year. She's changed. She's really matured. Terry walks up and Jimmy invites her to the party, saying she can bring Ashley too if she wants. Ooh, this is mm-hmm. so high school. Mm-hmm. Communicating your desires through an intermediary, like some in-between person. I mean, this is how it was all done.
Oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, you could bring her too. Like, I guess no problem. Like, it's not important. It's not important if you bring her, but like, tell her I invited her. But like, yeah, it's not important.
Very important. Playing it real cool.
Yeah.
We all did it. Paige, where have you been? Where the heck has Paige been at this point up until now?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen Lauren in a while. We finally saw Jake. Jake Epstein had a line.
Oh my God, yeah, Jake
Epstein.
For the first
time in like 25 episodes.
I know. So yeah. Evidently, we can only pay for certain people to be. I mean, this is the thing with an ensemble cast. You get into season two, okay, everybody's negotiation power goes up. And now the show, the budget inflates just because they're going to pay all this cast. And we had a huge cast. So Paige is telling Terry, Ellie, and Ashley that she's skipping Jimmy's party to hit the spa with her mom. Way cooler. They can't believe it. Is Ellie going? Nope. Ashley, you in? Nope. But Terry insists that Jimmy is still into her, and the only way to find out for sure is to go to his shindig.
Yeah, and what was Ellie's... I would rather do this than go to that party. Well, like, do you remember?
No. What was it?
Make sculptures out of her earwax.
Such a goth thing to do. I used to make those all the time.
Okay. Yeah. I guess cleaning your ears in general is not a goth thing to do because there's quite a lot of earwax you would need.
Yeah, man. Especially because, like, you got the headphones with, like, the loud music going. I sound like such a boomer right now. The loud music the kids are listening to, it's damaging your hearing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I still get notifications from my phone telling me to turn it down. It's like, you've been exposed. Exposed.
Do you actually?
Yeah. My phone tells me to turn the music down, and I'm like, I'm trying to go up.
It's terrifying sometimes. I do everything I can to preserve my hearing because, you know, we played amplified music for a long time, probably without proper protection. There is a little bit of hearing loss at the high end for me, as I know. I went for an audiogram in the last couple of years, just a tiny bit, but enough to be like, all right, you really got to be careful now.
Yeah.
I hate when you're listening to earbuds and you're outside or you're at the gym and you're like, this could go up a little bit more, and you're like, I'm at the top. What is this, even with ANC earbuds? And then you're thinking, how am I listening to this music at 85% for 2 hours now? I'm just compounding this damage anyway.
Well, I think, though,
don't get old, folks.
It's hard to tell, though, because I'm not going to do this for 5 minutes, but it's really hard to tell whether or not, like, what's the actual amplitude of your earbud. They change between model. Depends how much power the drivers are. So, like, the volume at 90% or 100% is different for each earbud. So
fair,
I actually
enough
happen to have quieter earbuds, and I
hate it. This is a depressing conversation. Let's move on.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Okay, Tracker pulls up on his motorcycle. What else? She's not going to drive a car. He's too cool. Sean is pulling on socks with holes in them. He argues with Tracker that they're turning into their parents. Poor, ill-equipped. And now Tracker's lost his job to boot. But Tracker says he's nothing like their dad, who blew all the family's money on booze. Besides, he's got a job interview tomorrow. He's trying to do better. Sean doesn't seem convinced. Then he mentions dinner at Emma's, and Tracker seems a little jealous when Sean heads out.
You thought he seemed jealous? I feel like he's always razzing Sean, but he's supportive in a, you know, older brother kind of father figure, but still trying to be a friend and disciplinary.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Maybe jealousy is not the right word, but I sense that he bristled a little bit because Sean is dependent on him and he needs to find a job now. And he's kind of the one out there, like, working and busting his balls. And I think he wishes he could go out and hang out with a girl, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all duty for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any luxuries.
It's true. For such a rebel, he's quite nobly focused on supporting
the
family.
He's a rebel with a cause, you know what I mean?
Oh, that's how you know we are boomers. Okay. Emma, Spike, and Snake are setting the table. Emma's worried they're going to grill Sean when he arrives. She's having trouble relaxing, and they try to calm her down, saying that they will behave themselves. But obviously, she's not too sure about this.
Yeah.
Later, Sean arrives, and he's there for dinner. The family digs into sushi, naming every dish in Japanese while traditional Japanese music plays. This was such a funny, like, I mean, they're setting it up really well, this sort of, like, culture conflict, but it's also kind of hilarious. They're basically speaking Japanese and kind of like, right, Sean, right? And he's feeling totally left out. And
I mean, they're worldly. They like to travel. They like to try different cuisines and embrace other cultures.
Yeah.
And Sean is just not
trying
that
to survive. Yeah. Well, he's got other things to focus on, and, you know, he hasn't had these chances, these opportunities. Mm-hmm. Sean immediately stabs his Mackie with a chopstick, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Spike asks about basketball. She says his parents must be proud, but Sean quietly explains why. Well, he explains that he doesn't live with them anymore. They're in Wasaga Beach and he lives with his brother Tracker. Emma tries to shield him from the questions. Sean mentions Tracker quitting his job, and everyone looks worried for him. He's clearly feeling like a fish out of water. And then he excuses himself, Which, I mean, I don't blame him. This is such an awkward situation. And while he's gone, Emma has a word with her parents.
You know what I blame, though? You can't blame him for needing a moment. You can blame Spike in her own home, allowing, not for what you think is like the parental grilling. That's going to happen no matter.
Either way. Yeah, right? Yeah, for sure.
It's going to happen. We know Sean's a great guy. They don't know him.
Yeah.
So who is hanging out with my daughter?
Yeah. He's also, what are your intentions?
He's also a year older, right? So they're
that's true.
And at that age, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Actually,
right?
They might not be grilling him enough.
Yeah, that's very true. But also, what kind of, after all this grilling, what kind of host is Spike if he's like, I would like some water? And she's like, yeah, help yourself.
Go
she's
into
like,
the
no,
kitchen.
No, I'll get it for you.
Yeah. No,
because
true.
I invited you over for dinner.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But of course, they needed to get Sean into the kitchen by himself.
Of course. Which
because
is why
that's
I love
where
TV.
He spots the bottle of wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
I last thing I'm going to say, if you don't have a taste for sushi, I don't have a taste for you.
Get out of here.
We can't be friends.
We've just all of our fans just unfollowed.
Yeah, right. All right.
I'm kidding.
Anyway,
I'm kidding.
But yeah, Sean had to find his way into the kitchen to spot that.
Of course.
Bottle of wine.
We got to get Sean, but I always go when I see things like this, I always go to the writer's room. It's like, but how do we get him into the kitchen so he's by himself and then he has that moment and someone's like, well, maybe he just goes in for water. Okay, yeah, good enough. We got to get this out.
Yeah. Everyone knows Spike has no idea how to host a proper meal, right? Right. Okay, so
yeah,
this is,
yeah.
No one will question it.
So in the kitchen, he sees the bottle of wine. What better way to grease the wheels, shall we say, to take the sting out of meeting the parents for the first time? He pours it into his water glass and secretly chugs it before returning to the table.
He chugs two of them.
Yeah, he chugs it twice.
How long do they expect it to take him? It's like, why are you chugging water in there, son? Just come back to the table. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, here's what I've got a problem with in this episode.
All right.
Over pie, you're going to have apple pie after sushi? I mean, they went to all this trouble to like play the music and they're speaking Japanese and they're doing it all right. They're practically wearing kimonos. They're real appreciators of Japanese culture. And then they bring out an apple pie. I just, where's my green tea ice cream?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. Even
where's
a mango ice cream,
mango or like some kind of cool, some sort of like a fried, like coconut tofu fry type of situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so many things. But once again, Spike doesn't know what she's doing.
Nope.
So
she's like, desperately trying to make small talk with Sean and Snake.
Yeah.
The dinner is clearly dying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge awkward pause that you could drive a freight train through. When Sean passes the pie, he accidentally knocks over a bunch of glasses, soaking Emma because he's trashed. She runs to change and Spike says it was nice getting to know him like this, then offers to pack up leftovers, saying a nice home-cooked meal.
Mm-hmm.
Sean hears this as, oh, I'm a charity case.
Mm-hmm.
He gets really embarrassed and he bolts.
It was an insensitive thing to say. You could have just said, I'll give you some leftovers. Spike, like that was a Freudian slip.
Totally.
She did mean that. She really did mean that.
Yeah, totally. But I also get like she pities him. Like there's an air of pity because she's concerned about him and being an older mother and she's used to parenting her kid in a certain way. So yeah, I understand both perspectives, but yeah.
Did you feel the same way that both of them took trips to the kitchen after Sean had been drinking and you saw in the background Snake was putting on a pot of coffee? And did you not think he was going to spot like alcohol missing and come back and or call Spike in there and it was going to be a big thing at the dinner?
I didn't really know where it was going, to be honest, but yeah, no, that's a good point.
Do we think that those awkward pauses, the whole dinner was awkward, but did you think that the awkward pauses afterwards were because Sean was drunk and just didn't care to even try anymore?
I took it as like he's kind of disassociating a little bit and using alcohol to do that. Like nothing can hurt me if I'm protected, and almost like he doesn't really have to answer any questions, kind of half-heartedly applying himself to the conversation. And that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah, dissociation. Yeah, that's a good call. Like, this will be over soon anyway. So
this was a mistake. I'm just going to like, this is how I'm going to get through it.
But I think that's the kind of performance as parents, which I am not, but I could assume after meeting the boy that we were already a little uncomfortable with the idea of, and then seeing that would be the talk afterwards, the very careful, tactful conversation with the daughter going like, are you sure this is the boy for you? You know,
they kind of leave it up to Emma in this episode to make her own choices, which is cool.
Is progressive.
It is. And I think they trust her, and I think we see in this episode why they trust her. Like even that scene at the end when he's really trashed after the party. I just thought the way she handled that was pretty cool. She seems very grown up, very ahead of her years here.
She does. But there is also like there's ahead of her years still being 14, 15 years old, however old she is. Like you could be mature beyond your years, but you're still that age. I'm just wondering if it's like it's not hands off parenting. It's more like she knows what she's doing, and if she trips and falls, we'll be here to pick her up, but we're not going to shelter her from the mistake.
For sure. Jimmy's party is in full swing. People are making out on couches. The music is too loud. Ashley and Ashley and Terry arrive to find Spinner with whipped cream all over his face. He's clearly been doing whippets in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's right.
Ashley immediately regrets coming. Spinner's bummed that Paige couldn't make it. Still pining after Paige, eh, buddy?
Yeah, what that hasn't come up in a little bit.
I mean, it's always going to be there, you know, the one that got away. Jimmy is pleasantly surprised that Ashley shows up. They awkwardly fumble in conversation before he's pulled away by other guests.
Yeah, who is this? Hey, Jimmy. Going through all the CDs.
Oh, yeah, dude, the guy
who looks
with the leather jacket and the long hair, kind of looks like Scott Patterson does, but pre-Scott Patterson. I know.
Yeah. It's early Johnny DeMarco. They were testing the waters with.
Yeah, they were like prototype of a character. But kind of more like happy-go-lucky. Like he seemed really stoked about Jimmy's CD collection. What do you think he was calling him over? It's like, hey, Jimmy. Which one do you want to put on next? Foo Fighters or
Ladies and Gentlemen, Foo Fighters. Yeah.
Foo Fighters. Yeah.
And Jimmy's like, I got guests. I got to entertain.
I got to go tell them what CD to put on. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, a big deal back then.
What are these circular flat things?
Hey, what are they? Frisbees?
Yeah.
How's the music coming out of the speaker?
This is magic, right? You're going to stand there and tell me this isn't pure magic? Sorcery?
Yeah, no, he was funny. And he gets a second moment coming up, too, which is great.
This guy needs an option. He needed a spin-off.
I'm curious about this fella.
For sure. We put it to you to create some fan fiction for random party guy V1 Johnny DeMarco.
Yeah. Maybe some art also. I want to see some art
with this highlighted moments. Oh, all right.
Yeah. And so he takes off, and Ashley now assumes, well, he doesn't actually really want me here after all. This sucks. I'm leaving. At home again, Emma comes back from changing to find Sean has left. Spike tries to explain, but Emma accuses her of scaring him off and heads out to find him. Back at the party, the doorbell rings and a wine-drunk Sean greets Spinner and Craig. He is ready to party.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like this too. Spinner is in like pure party mode and Sean comes in all excited and Spinner starts like, he's like, yeah, party. And Spinner's like, yeah, party. What's with this guy?
What? This guy came to have fun.
Yeah, I don't.
Craig immediately realizes how hammered Sean is and looks concerned, as you said. Sean spots the liquor cabinet and tells Craig that he bailed on dinner because Emma's parents made him feel ashamed.
Mm.
Well, Craig tries to talk some sense into him, but Sean is convinced that Emma will never forgive him, and neither will the parents. The moment Craig leaves, Sean surreptitiously swaps his soda bottle for a liquor bottle and starts drinking. Well, he actually dumps out his like pop, his 7-Up, like
some sort of no name Fanta, whatever that was.
They're all drinking
was
Perrier.
It? Yeah, okay, right.
He dumps it out, puts the bottle in there. Yeah,
he always struck me as more of a San Pellegrino guy.
Yeah, he's an S&P. Yeah. S&P.
But I mean, like Craig hasn't spoken in, as we established. I don't even know if he's ever spoken in a Degrassi episode at this point. And he's right there playing supportive friend. You know, in one look, realize this guy is messed up and he's mm-hmm. fired up and I'm not going to pry anymore. I don't care what kind of good friend I'm trying to be. Okay. Okay. It's over.
Keeping in mind the train tracks where the shoe was on the other foot and Sean was kind of trying to figure out what was going on with Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that epic skateboard flip? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think after all of that, that this, everything they've been through so far, a little like, are you drunk? No, man, we got to talk about this. This is kind of like low on the totem pole of things that these two should be concerned for. But
hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
On the dance floor now, everybody is moshing to pop punk. Or I guess a facsimile of pop punk, because this is not a licensed track. This is made up for the show. When Ashley gets hit on by that cheesy rocker prototype of DeMarco that we were just talking about.
Uh-huh.
He's so happy and pleasant, though. He's such a nice dude.
Yeah.
But she doesn't think so. She's out of there. But Jimmy stops her, saying they still haven't had a chance to talk, and she's actually the one that he wanted to see the most. Twist my arm. Ashley changes her tune pretty quickly. She's Sting.
First time she smiled in a whole bunch of episodes.
In a season.
He also had like the double hand. Like, did you see he's got both of her shoulders?
It's a lot of like that in the whole episode of like shaking people's shoulders and grabbing them and holding them.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, broing out kind of moments like that. But this was a funny one. And I don't know how this used to be your girlfriend. And I guess, and you want her back and you're looking for a place to grab her, to hold her in place, but you're not going to grab her wrist, but you can't put your hands anywhere else. So he just goes with the double shoulder to keep her in place. Like
right on top. A little firm pressure downwards.
Yeah, it's fine. I will say commendable to Melissa that her feeling of being uncomfortable at this party was palpable.
Mm-hmm. Sean, we're with Sean now, and he's working his way through an almost empty liquor bottle when Emma finds him in the mosh pit. She apologizes for her mom and asks what she said that made him leave. Sean, clearly trashed, replies, "She told me the truth." Emma tries to wrestle the bottle away from him, and when that doesn't work, it ends up smashing on the floor. Uh-oh. Needle scratch. The party stops. Jimmy walks over. "You come to my house to steal my parents' booze? Get out of here."
Yeah. I mean, we already talked about
That's the big transgression at your house party while your parents are. I mean, he does say like, doesn't he say something like, "I'll never be able to have a party again" or something like that? Or am I thinking of something else?
Did he say that? And then also the cut on the, so that whole, this whole sequence of events was corny as hell to me. It was like all made for TV moments right here. That drops the bottle, music stops. No one would have heard this. It's just a broken ball at a party, right?
Yeah.
But the music stops somehow. I guess rocker guy turned off the magic box over there as soon as he.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy comes over, berates Sean, and kicks him out. And then he and Ashley crouch down for this like nice moment with the slowest broken glass cleanup that still ends with a cut. Like it.
Yeah. He's somehow managed to cut himself by picking them up individually the most delicate way possible.
Yeah.
But whatever, I liked it.
Sure. Yeah. It's for what it is, right?
That's right.
But this is why we're here, folks. We can make fun of our own show.
That's right. We're allowed. Because Ashley sweetly grabs the napkins and applies them to Jimmy's cut hand. To stop
nice
the
sterile
bleeding.
Napkins.
And they look at each other deeply into each other's eyes and almost smack into each other and kiss. But it doesn't happen. I was like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I liked it.
In another universe, because those napkins were obviously so dirty, like covered in Cheeto dust and
he got flesh eating.
All this stuff, Jimmy becomes septic and loses that finger.
That's right.
Lyra. Yeah.
And dies, actually. But Ashley is at the side of his bed.
Yes. That's right.
We write like anti-Degrassi fan fiction. It's like horrible. Everybody dies. Everybody gets hurt. Yeah.
But everyone resurrects every episode, like Kenny in South
That's
Park.
That's right. Yeah. There's a necromancer there. She leaves with Terry, but there's obviously feelings in the air. Outside Jimmy's apartment now, Emma is holding up a very drunk Sean. He's calling himself a big, stupid loser. I feel that. Emma pushes back.
Just a big, stupid loser.
Yeah. Emma pushes back on this comment about his low self-worth. And then she calls her mom for a, quote, no questions asked pickup. I really liked that line. It was like, Mom, you said that I could call you, no questions asked to be picked up. I am invoking the right.
Yes. My one get out of jail free card.
Yeah. No, I've been there. I've actually done that. And I think it's a very good way to parent. I think it's really, you know, like your kids are going to get into trouble. Would you rather know about it and be able to help them through it? Mm-hmm. Or is it like a don't ask, don't tell policy? Because I don't know if that works so well.
I think there's also, there's fine print on that card that says, no questions asked in the moment.
Yeah. But there will be
plenty of questions later. Yes. But I do like that they have this understanding. And I also really do like that Emma has the wherewithal to explain to Sean afterwards, like, listen, everyone messes up once. But if she has to pick you up drunk twice, then it's going to be a different story. This isn't like a perpetual thing that we can do or that I'm going to be willing to put up with. But everyone is entitled to, forgiveness after a mess up. Yeah.
Totes. Monday morning, Ashley walks up to Jimmy in school and smooches him. Jimmy leans in for another when Sean approaches, probably to apologize. Like, I get the sense he's feeling bad and he's maybe talked about this with Emma and he's going to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy is so not interested in hearing from Sean. So he takes off. Looks like they're back on the outs.
Yeah. Once again, like, I get it, but it's not. If I, at that age and in my existence, if everybody got kicked out of everybody's house every time that they, stole a little bit of booze from the host's parents' liquor cabinet, there would be no one to host parties and no one allowed at anybody's parties. So relax, Jimmy. Come on. But
I'm trying to remember how I started stealing booze, but really, like, there were always those special bottles for really special occasions in the back of my parents' liquor cabinet that never got touched. They forgot about them.
Yeah. And then,
and those were the ones that I would like just, I'd go down in the middle of the night and I bought myself a flask as soon as I could. You remember being a teenager. And then I would just siphon off like little amounts, just the bottom of the flask. Really, like, who's going to miss that amount? Mm-hmm. And then I'd go to a party with that, you know, in my breast pocket. And
to this day, that 50-year-old scotch, Mike's mom and dad, is filled with tea.
And when my mom drinks it, she swears she's trashed.
Yeah, she's still your mom is. I'm so drunk.
I'm so drunk. It, yeah, mom.
It must be 140 proof in this bottle.
Emma catches up with a dejected Sean who doesn't. Well, do you remember stealing booze from your parents?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Come on.
Yes, of course. This. I remember my parents, your parents, everyone's parents. I stole booze from. That's still how I get most of my, like, why?
You've got an ID. You could
the condo board here has a problem with me.
Emma catches up with a dejected Sean who doesn't want to hear it. He screwed up. Emma tells him everybody screws up. But Sean says he's always going to be a screw up. It's in his blood. Emma says that it's all in his frame of mind, actually, and that he should probably change it. But he's worried he'll never change and that her parents will never approve of him. Tracker already punished him for what happened at the party. Emma tells him this is about the two of them and not anybody else's business. She says, "I like you, Sean." And Sean replies, "I like you too." And that's where we freeze.
I like you
too. It's cute.
Almost. Almost.
L word, the big word is too hard to say.
Yeah. I kind of love you. Yeah.
You definitely feel it though. You're like, I'm obsessed with you. I can't do anything without you. I can't even survive. I can't breathe without you.
It was a nice moment. I totally understand where Sean is coming from, because so much of the fear, I mean, everyone's fear to some degree is ending up exactly like your parents, right?
Yeah.
Especially if one of your parents specifically is someone that you don't hold in high regard. Mm-hmm. And to Sean, that's both of his parents. Mm-hmm. I don't think he really looks up to his brother either, even though his brother has made some proper noble sacrifices for Sean. Sean still nitpicks at the things that he feels are reminiscent of their parents, right? So for him saying like it's in my blood, I totally get that. Like when you're down and out, when you're in that headspace, you're like, this is my destiny. Like there's no escaping this, no matter how nice you are and no matter how you try to frame this, that things will get better. This is who I am. This is my bloodline. It's my birthright to be this way.
I agree. And it's like, I think it's common for me in my whole life. I've oscillated between, I am better than this. You know, when you make a mistake and you suddenly see this behavior, that reminds you of something that your parents did that you don't like. It's a hard pill to swallow. You feel resigned to that, like I'm trapped in my destiny to become them. But then I always find myself oscillating because on the other hand, it's like, no, I think we're all a little bit better than our parents. Not to say that all our parents are inherently bad, but like we're always trying to improve on those things that we thought we needed improving on. And that's my experience. Like I'm always going back and forth, beating myself up for it a little bit. And then kind of appreciating how I've changed the recipe for the better.
Yeah. And even I could get behind that even if you end up being too similar a version to say, let's just say to your father, then makes you comfortable. You can at least take solace in going like, but I smoothed out some of the rough edges. Right?
I totally know what you mean. I made a film about it recently. Yeah. So, and I still wrestle with it and I still have like, you know, I get feedback, you know, some of the criticism of the film is like, you're too hard on your dad, you're too hard on your parents, you know, suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big baby. But then criticism on the other side, which is like, you weren't tough enough on them. You should, like, you know what I mean? Like these people need their comeuppance. Like, so there's no, it just goes to show you like the broad spectrum of opinion on holding people in your life accountable for their behavior. Mm-hmm. And then deciding how you're gonna then go through your life and navigate your own life, doing things the same. What do you take and what do you discard or what do you improve upon?
Mm-hmm.
And then it also makes me wonder then, therefore, how much is actually our parents and how much of it is just human nature, mm-hmm. that we think is, you know, being passed down. So it's a
big, the good old nature mess. Versus nurture question, right? But I just love the thought of like your children one day, you make a film, don't come upstairs, your children make about you. You can come upstairs, but don't knock on my door.
Totally.
And it's like,
totally,
yeah, small improvements.
Yeah. You can come upstairs, but you can't talk at all.
That's right.
Don't
do it quietly.
Anything. Do it quietly.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Great episode.
It was charming. It was super charming. Nice to see a big cast at a party.
Yeah.
It was
fun. Those were always fun days, especially when you just got paid your daily rate for not having lines and you could just come and hang out and not have any stress at all. Yeah.
Well, we love hearing from all y'all. And we've got a very active Discord where you can fire questions at us. You can also send your questions to dgradspodcast@gmail.com. And we read everything, even though we might not get to it. We also have a Patreon. So if you like the idea of getting commercial-free video episodes of the podcast you're currently listening to, where you can see our faces, please find us, Dgrads Podcast, on Patreon. Support us there. We love doing this podcast, but honestly, like, we could not do it without your support. So that just kind of puts a little bit in the gas tank for us to get this thing out to you.
I was watching Patreon pop off this past week. Everyone loved seeing Ryan back there.
Oh, man.
We loved having Ryan. He was such a good guest. He was one of the few that, like, it literally had been zero contact since he was gone.
Nothing.
From Degrassi.
And so I don't know many actors on the show who've spoken to him at all in that time.
No, neither do I. And it was nice for him to set the story straight on him leaving the show and the Drake video. I like that he brought that up because I didn't want to. I thought, like, you know, just, you know.
Totally. And it's like when we have cast on the show, you know, we don't want to scare them away by hammering them with the hard hitting questions all the time. So we leave it really up to designing this the way that they want to do it, this interview. And I was pleasantly surprised he wanted to go there. All right, let's get to these questions. We got a bunch of hungry listeners here and they need to be fed.
Not hungry hippos.
No,
not hungry hippos.
N Bean says, in Message in a Bottle, which is convenient because this is the episode we're talking about, was Sean's embarrassment about taking his shoes off meant to appeal to American audiences, or was it simply a plot device?
Sean taking his shoes off?
Yes, because there's this whole cultural difference between Americans and Canadians, which is about what you do with your shoes when you visit someone's home. Do you leave them on or do you take them off?
Did I miss this moment entirely? Did he go to Emma's place and keep his shoes on?
I don't know. I missed it also. But I'm inclined to believe N Bean that it was a beat. It was a moment. We missed it. Yes, we do take our shoes off when we go into people's houses in Canada.
Does that not happen in the US?
I don't know, but I've heard, and maybe it's just like a warmer climate thing, more in the southern part of the US, because they don't have as much snow. But, yeah, I think it is a thing.
I don't know.
Canadians take their shoes off indoors primarily to keep out snow, salt, mud, and slush during the long winters.
I thought it was just a respect thing. Like, it's not like, yeah, you're going to track dirt and sludge in the wintertime, but you're also going to track other crap in the summertime. So
yeah. No, I get it. I get it. My South African family thinks it's hilarious that I take my shoes off.
Really?
Yep. They're like, weird. Oof. Look at those little feet.
Yeah. It could be like in certain areas, it could be more about the critters that exist. It's like, no, trust me, there's never a point where you want to be barefoot inside or outside.
No, but I don't know. I really don't know. I think it might be a state by state thing, but let us know, folks, what you guys do. But yes, we do take our shoes off, probably because we have snow and salt and all that stuff.
Did you say let us know or let it snow?
Let it snow. Let us. I actually said lettuce now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, rabbit.
All right. Fernando says, this is also a Discord question. Fernando asks, who do you think are the most interesting characters in season 2 and why?
Oh, we have to play favorites? Okay, I'll do what my parents did. I'm going to have to think about this for a second. Mike, how about you?
Everybody's got a tinge of mystery. We have a bunch of new characters. We've got Ellie. We've got Marco. Well, we've gotten into Marco a little bit here. We haven't quite gotten to Ellie enough. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's coming. So at some point in the future. So those would be my top picks.
Mm-hmm.
Just very curious.
Earlier in the season, I would have said Craig and Paige, but we haven't seen much of them. So yeah. Now I'd say as of late, the most interesting character for me would be Marco mm-hmm. because of what he's going through. Yeah, JT. He's a ball of laughs.
He really is. All right, awesome. Thanks for the question, Fernando. Ukariah also, I just wanted to point this out on Discord. Ukariah asks if we can start sending questions for Melissa's upcoming episode. I would just say on Discord, send all the questions all the time because we've got a better way of tracking your questions now. So less of them will slip through the cracks. And if you anticipate there's an episode coming out and you have a question about that episode, just fire away and we will get to those. We also get email questions from you, and we've got one here from Kristen. Kristen says, I've been a huge fan of Degrassi, The Next Generation, since I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And I am so beyond happy you guys have a podcast. I can listen to it now as an adult, 25. My mom originally got me into it and used it as a guide for me growing up. Totally. On what not to do and what to do and how to be a friend. I found your podcast and started rewatching it and love how deep the show was, even without diving directly into it every time. Thank you all for being so authentic and giving your viewers the space to talk to you and to listen to you and hear more sides to the show. You guys rock. I guess that was just a nice comment and not a question after all. But
yeah,
you
read that one on purpose.
Sometimes I like to guess.
It worked, Mike. I'm feeling pretty damn good about myself.
Gonna leave
right
it
now.
On a high note. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I love the enthusiasm. I love that people are taking the time to go in and comment their reviews on every episode that we just did. We have a loyal, dedicated community, and it's so fun to watch, and we do not take it for granted. So thank you. Thank you all for participating. This was supposed to be interactive, and it's very much going that way.
Yeah, for sure. And we will be better at trying to give you heads up when we've got confirmed guests so that you can ask specific guest-related questions before we record the pod.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mike, yeah. Very eloquently put, and I think that just about wraps it up, you know?
It wraps it. Puts a nice bow on it. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with me today.
Speaking of which, just as you say, bow, my car is in for service right now, and when I was leaving, obviously someone had just purchased a new car, and they were picking it up.
Oh.
And I don't know if this is Hyundai internationally, but there was a big, big bow on the hood.
Nice.
I've never seen that before. It made me smile.
It's cool.
I hope you're enjoying your car, family.
You didn't just get in there with a Sharpie and sign it?
So. It's Shane Kippel. this has been another fantastic epic episode of the D-Grads podcast with Shane Kippel, Mike Lobel, and nobody else, because there's not always room for that. We will talk to you all next week. Adios.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.